Welcome into the CHGO White Sox post-game show, coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. This show is presented by Factor Meals. Head to factormeals.com/CHGOSOX50. That's code CHGOSOX50 to get 50% off. That's code CHGOSOX at factormeals.com/CHGOSOX50 to get 50% off your first meal kit. I'm Sean Anderson, alongside me, the full CHGO White Sox crew. That is Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him at Vinny Duber and read his latest piece about Mike Clevenger joining the White Sox at allchgo.com. The man in the middle is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at HectorWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. We're being produced today by Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, and make sure you're hitting that thumbs up button. Sarah said there was 31 people waiting, so hit that thumbs up button. We better see 31 likes. Make sure you're subscribing if you haven't yet. And Herb,
yeah,
it's a real dejected hello.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really necessarily care about the results. I care how you get to the results, and this was shades of last year.
Yeah, the result. A 10-1 loss for the Chicago White Sox in the first of four games in Kansas City. And boy, was that seventh inning ugly. Today we'll be talking about Eloy Jimenez. I guess we kind of have an update, if we can even call it an update, because it's kind of the same as usual. And he didn't play today, so we'll talk a little bit about Eloy Jimenez and what his future will look like. We will talk about the Mike Clevenger deal becoming official, the White Sox announcing that today. We'll talk about Corey Lee and Gavin Sheets' big day, and then Mike Soroka had a fine day. It was all right. We'll talk about it. I got some thoughts. But we got Jeezy saying like spike in 3, 2, 1. Make sure you're hitting it up. We got Paul Konerko likes. Hit that thumbs up button. We'd appreciate it. Let's get into Eloy first, just because it was some pregame stuff. Pedro Grifol saying that Eloy would be available off the bench, and maybe.
Yeah.
And then it seems like that seventh inning kind of killed idea of Eloy Jimenez coming in, because we thought on the pregame show it would be in a pinch hit scenario.
Yeah, I think the idea is he can hit, but he probably can't run yet. And if he's going to hit and get a hit and be on base, they have to take him right out for a pinch hitter. You don't want to do that with your cleanup man in the first inning, right? So the idea is he'd be available to come in late if needed, swing the bat, hopefully get a hit, and then they'd yank him right out of there again. But you're right. It was 10-1 by the time the eighth inning rolled around, and they didn't really find an opportunity to even consider needing his bat in there.
Yeah, it's very I don't like how they are doing this, but I hope by tomorrow he's in the game, because that'll be five games. And then, you know, what's the use, you know, being available for the 6, 7, 8, and 9 games instead of just being on the IL for this whole time? Could add somebody up. Yes, Lenin Sosa, not great, but at least there's another person available to pinch run, another person to field the ground ball. I don't know.
My host sense are tingling. Do you want to talk about that seventh inning? It really feels like you're ready to kind of... You got some thoughts on the way that Braden Shumake played, at least it's that even, Salvador Perez ground out.
That's bad. That was bad, and that's probably the worst of the whole thing. But
the three-run error at shortstop? You
the
don't
thing
see that
continues is the Andrew Vaughn thing, where he can't catch balls in foul territory, kind of over his shoulder. It's a tough play. Let me act like it was a routine-ass play. It's a tough play, but we've seen throughout his career him not making that play, where other first baseman, Jose Abreu in particular, would make that play look very routine. Now, the next batter, or the batter who should have been out, came up the next pitch and then lined a single to right field and got another RBI. And that's how the inning continues when you breathe life into these other teams. Davey Garcia, at the beginning of the inning, walking the people he walked, I think he was facing 5, 6, 7 to start that inning. He walked, I know he walked Renfroe, who's the seventh hitter, and then he walked the guy before Renfroe. And so it's like, what are we doing?
Walked Velasquez and Renfroe, and then Frazier came in.
Yeah, and then Frazier comes in for a pinch hitting. Like, these are not the Royals that should be beating you. The Royals should be beating you are at the top of the lineup with Bobby Witt Jr., who, man, oh, man.
He did some beating as well.
Oh, that guy is so good. And Salvador Perez, who was swinging at anything that was in the ballpark. Those are the guys who should beat you. You shouldn't be losing because you're walking Hunter Renfroe, who has like two hits on the year. One thing you don't do on Hunter Renfroe is run on him. But the thing that you do to him is pitch to him and let Hunter Renfroe hit it as far as he can. He can hit it far, but he only does it like 20 times a year. So it's very seldom and very, you don't walk him. That's what my main point is.
Did the White Sox try running on Hunter Renfroe tonight at all?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Okay. Should I save that or?
That was just dumb. Why are we doing dumb things? Like, I watched that game, and I already know that Hunter Renfroe's got a great arm. That's one of the things that while he is passed around to different teams every year, his arm still travels with them. If they watched the game last night versus Baltimore, the dude is going away from second base, fading away, throwing a ball, and getting Adley Rutschman like that on a ball that's on the warning track. He has an arm. Why are we throwing or running Gavin Sheets, who is not a burner? And the man's probably just probably like 50 yards or 50 feet away from second base position. He's an easy-ass throw. Accurate as hell. He was out by at least 10 feet.
It doesn't matter if it's Hunter Renfroe on that play. Like you just said, you're basically in shallow right field. The only guy who should be going home on a play like that is like Billy Hamilton, right? Who's gonna be like, oh my God, Billy Hamilton, the fastest player in the history of baseball. Look what he can do, even on a play like that, can score and come home. You know, whether that's even a moderately quick guy, say that's Kevin Pillar instead of Gavin Sheets.
Yeah,
Kevin Pillar's out.
Yes,
at home, and then on top of it, it's Gavin Sheets. So I understand probably what they're thinking, right? Let's catch them off guard. They'll never see this coming. We'll be aggressive and we'll be fearless and all the other letters and fast. But it just didn't work because that play never works.
Yeah,
right?
And he was not caught off guard. Like he was charging the ball, ready to throw home, and then he sees Gavin running home and he's like probably just like drooling. Like he's probably like, this was, you know, he threw out a college football player who tackled Christian McCaffrey running to second base off his back foot as his momentum's taking him towards the right foul line. He threw out Rutschman and a bang-bang play at second base, and the White Sox are like, yeah, we should let that guy get a running head start and throw home.
Well, I think the only thing I can think of, because the two defenders were close together, is that maybe it's like, oh, I bet the second baseman catches this and he'll have his back-to-home plate. Like, but, I mean, that can't be how it ended up going down. But, I mean, that's like the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, and Sarah Lang's tweeted out that Hunter Renfroe has like 33 outfield assists since
2017.
Since 2017, that's 8 more than any other player in Major League Baseball in that same time. The scouting report just blank sheet. What were we doing?
Well, and that's the thing too, is that it was 2-1 before that inning starts. My guy Davey Garcia comes in, and he didn't have a good outing, but it's like not even close to his fault. And I know people were blaming Pedro, but it's like defense.
I mean, he loaded the bases with 2 walks.
Right. No. Fair, but I didn't mean to like take it away from him. I know I'm a huge Davey Garcia defender.
You're on the Davey train.
But even then, it's like. And Dominic Leone comes in, and there's a homer. There's like, I mean, like,
and another one.
Yeah, like it was just nasty. Anyways, we were supposed to talk a little bit about Aloy. We got 96 people watching. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. Again, we're not really sure why you're watching either the White Sox or this post game show, and not to sound weird.
No, keep watching it.
Keep watching it, but it's more just like,
don't watch the White Sox. Watch this.
Misery loves company, and here you are taking in that company. Make sure you do become a diehard today. If you're not, sign up at allchgo.com. We got a diehard Discord. We get to chat with White Sox fans like you, White Sox diehards like you in the Discord. You also get a box with a shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker, a sticker pack, and a membership card. All right, let's go back to Aloy Jimenez. Were you glad that he didn't get pinched hit in today? Like, you know, we already talked that he might be available off the bench, Herb. Were you glad to not see Aloy Jimenez because it still leaves the availability for them to put him on the IL? If he doesn't play tomorrow, do you think he goes to the IL?
No, I think they're full engines go for Aloy playing either tomorrow or Saturday. So putting him on the IL is probably not in their purview. I only think you can put him in the IL this far away from where he initially got hurt. I think you only get 3 days, don't you?
No, I don't even think so. I thought it was just retroactive. As long as he doesn't play. I always thought that it's like if you play him, then the clock gets set.
Yeah.
So if he had one plate appearance today, you know, like then that clock would get reset.
But yeah, if it was 2-1 and we need somebody to break open the game with one swing, yes, I want Aloy Jimenez in the game more than I want Martin Maldonado, Pillar, or anybody on the bench for the White Sox. Yes, of course. That man can open up a game quickly, and how he was doing in spring training, I say that guy's still in there somewhere. But you know, if he's not feeling it, or if they're not feeling enough for him to be batting four times as a designated hitter, I don't know how one at bat would ruin him. Like, if you can bat one time in that same game as a designated hitter, I think you can bat four times, which is not that hard.
Yeah.
And it's the running part,
yeah,
I think, that makes it. It's like I was talking about earlier. I mean, if he doubles in his first at bat, right, and he can't run home,
he's getting thrown out by Hunter Renfrow.
That's yeah, but that's a problem, and it goes to maybe further aggravating that injury, too. I think that's probably what they're most worried about.
And then this is from MLB.com. Teams can retroactively assign players to the injured reserve starting on the day the player first becomes unfit to play. But if a player last played on June 1st, and this is just an example, and isn't placed on the 10-day injured list until June 7th, the player's team can backdate the 10-day injured list to June 4th. So it's 3 days from that
day.
Yeah, so
yes,
you're right about the 3 days, even if a player hasn't appeared in a game longer than that. Yeah, it's a tough situation for Aloy, and then you even hear his quote, and it just sounds even tougher. This is the full quote. I'm reading this from Sox Machine and James Fegan, who is in Kansas City today. But it's frustrating, you know, Jimenez said. Right now, it's just turn the page and keep going. Things are happening. Sometimes I want to go home, but I don't want to give up like that. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to be here for my team. Remembering all these years with everything that happened, it's really frustrating, especially when you've been feeling good and you've been preparing yourself good and something happens. But at the end of the day, I'm a warrior. I'm going to keep pushing and I'm going to keep working and I'm going to go out to be there. At some point, it's going to change. I know someday it's going to be another side. I would love to see Aloy not have to deal with all of this stuff, but I don't know. I mean, at this point, it's been 4 games since he's played, right? And this is three
with the rainout. Yeah,
I'm all for giving him that 10 days to just heal up. Even if he feels great today, he hasn't felt great for the past 3 days, and I don't understand the idea of, if he's going to be ready day 9, why you just don't take that extra day to just put him on the IL. And it seems like the White Sox trust their doctors, like Pedro said. They trust Aloy Jimenez to communicate how he's feeling, but again, it keeps happening, and why not just take all the time that you possibly can, especially with how bad this team is, to truly let him heal up and recover.
And I feel sorry for the person, because you can hear in that quote that he's hurting. He worked to get better. No one in spring training was saying, oh, he's out of shape, oh, he's this, that, and the other. And I hear that every time when he gets hurt. They blame him for his own injuries. Do you blame Byron Buxton for his own injuries? No. Do you blame Royce Lewis for his own injuries? Are those guys out of shape? No. But you find a punching bag in Aloy Jimenez and say, oh, he's 35 pounds overweight, or he's just out of shape, or he doesn't stretch enough, or all this garbage I hear from people. It's like, it's just trash. You hear this man's pouring his heart out. Like, he wants to play, but now he's hurt again. And he's hearing from you who are saying that he's a disappointment. He's hearing from all the people. You don't think he's disappointed in himself? His own body letting him down every damn time he goes out there on the field running to first? Like, what do you think, guys? Like, he's another human like you are. And I know you're frustrated that he is not on the field all the damn time, but I'm getting tired of you guys blaming him, the person, for his own damn injuries. Like, again, are you going to blame Byron Buxton when he eventually gets hurt? Because it just happens. Or Royce Lewis, who already got hurt this year. Do you blame them for their own injuries? No. Their bodies are breaking down on them. Sometimes you just can't help those things. And that's what happens right here with Aloy Jimenez. I believe that man is hurting because he's working hard to stay on the field.
Having covered him his whole career, or his whole major league career at least, I don't want to say you've noticed a change, because I still think he's the same guy, but certainly you can tell that he was feeling this way, whether he said it like he did today or not. And I think today certainly is the most open or revealing that he's ever been on this subject, basically because you could tell he didn't want to talk about it. You know what I mean? And I think at first it was the defense. The defense was the thing he never wanted to talk about. It was like, oh, Aloy made another, you know, adventurous play in the outfield. We have to talk to him about it. And he's just like, very visibly didn't want to talk about it. And now the injuries have become that. And it's probably less because we keep asking about it, but because something makes us keep asking about it, right? And so to have him verbalize that today kind of backs up the feeling that we got from a guy who whose personality when he showed up in the big leagues was, you know, the jokester, hi mom, always smiling all the time, you know, making fun of my mustache on the Zooms in 2020. Like, this is a guy who was very visibly happy all the time. And now the storyline, again, first was, is this guy ever going to be able to play the field again? And boy, did he want to play the field, right? But didn't work out that way. And now it's, is this guy ever going to play a full slate of games? Boy, does he want to play a full slate of games, but it just keeps happening where it's not the case. And I can understand why that frustration is there, why he's saying stuff like that, and why he's thinking stuff like that.
And that clip of him saying, wow, what a mustache, is still just ingrained in my head. That was a great moment to bring back up. A couple things that I want to get to in the comments, then we'll take a break. We'll talk a little bit about Robbie Grossman, and then we'll get into the latest White Sox signing. If you could scroll up just a little bit, Sarah, Minidar saying, at some point, Benintendi is going to be like Leury. They're going to have to cut their loss. God bless. There's no way in hell that they're going to eat $67 million. Leury Garcia was $5.5 million. So I tried warning you. I tried letting you know there was all these other guys that could play right field, and they went out and signed a left fielder, forcing Eloy Jimenez to play right field, and then, hey, here briefly. We go. Huh?
Briefly.
Yeah, briefly, and then, you know, more leg injuries came up. Just tough. Let's take a break. We'll let you know about our friends over at Factor. It has been great to get a Factor meal kit sent to my house. I've been eating stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're always fresh, they're never frozen, and they are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. My neighbor, Christy, also has tried this out, and she loves them. I get to carry up her Factor box every day, or not every day, but every week, and it's always like, oh, hey, look, someone's supporting the podcast. But also discover more than 60...
Is Christy watching?
I don't think so.
Hi, Christy.
Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Again, it's easy to heat in 2 minutes, and it truly does not feel, it's never frozen, and it feels truly just fresh. Like it's freshly made for you. Herb fueled up for pregame with a Factor meal. So head over to factormeals.com/CHGOSOX50 and use code CHGOSOX50 to get 50% off. That's code CHGOSOX50 at factormeals.com/CHGOSOX50 to get 50% off. Vinny.
Sean.
What are you enjoying?
What am I enjoying? Well, I'll tell you what I don't enjoy. I don't enjoy winter, Herb. You know that. Yeah, I'm not a huge spring fan. And I'm okay with fall, but there's a reason there's no such thing as winter shandy, spring shandy, fall shandy. Outlandish to even suggest such a thing would exist. Mm-hmm. But you know what does exist? Summer shandy. And we're all enjoying a summer shandy tonight because it's shandy season, Sarah.
Yes.
Yes, it is. The fine folks at Line and Kugel's, the fine folks at Line and Kugel's make a fine, fine beer. And of course, now that it's 30-something degrees outside and summer is upon us, you can take a whole box full of summer shandy, buy them at the Jewel, I saw them there today, and take it on any of your numerous summertime activities. You could take them over by the lake. Maybe you want to have a little picnic. Mm-hmm. You're going to require a summer shandy. You're going to go down to the Rate and have a little tailgate. You're going to require a summer shandy. Maybe if you're going up to Wisconsin, you're going to paddle around in a canoe or something like that, whatever they do up there. Slide down a slide in the Dells. You're going to need a shandy in hand. A shandy in handy, if you will.
There you go. A handy shandy.
Exactly.
And also, with lemon, keep scurvy away.
I cannot speak. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it's chock full of vitamin C, but there it is. Guys, flavor life's simple moments with Line and Kugel's, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to liney.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's LEINIE.com/CHGO. Or pick up Line and Kugel's pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Line and Kugel's, flavor the moment, celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Line and Kugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls.
Yes! You've seen the percentage?
Yeah.
It's like a 4.5, I believe.
I think he's looking to see if there's vitamin C in there.
I don't think there's any vitamin C.
I don't think there is, but you know.
But
there's other
a Wisconsin innovation is coming where it will be summer shandy boosted with vitamin C.
If anybody can figure out how to make beer good for you, yes, it would be the innovators up in Chippewa Falls.
Yes. All right. Let's get into just a final Aloy-ish talk. Chris Getz did address the media today and said that Robbie Grossman could join the Sox next week. Is that what the Sox are waiting for to possibly put Aloy on the IL? Is that totally just independent?
Yeah, those are two separate things. Grossman obviously joined them very late in spring training. He needed time to ramp up. I think the idea is that Aloy, and again, as I've been talking about with the idea that Sheets maybe would be the one to go down, mm-hmm, not going to be now that he's getting on base every time he steps to the plate, but that he would be the one to go down if Grossman were to come up. Those two guys play different positions, and I think Grossman and Aloy play different positions too. I understand the idea you could bring him up if he goes on the IL, but it really looks like at this point they're just waiting for him to get better. And hey, if this was the minor leagues and there was a 7-day IL, maybe Aloy would have gone on it, but it's the major leagues. There's a 10-day, and they think that he's going to be back in fewer than 10 days.
And before we get into things that will make us drink copiously, like Wrath of Raider says, I need 12 beers after that disgrace. Let's get into some of the highlights. There were two, and they're named Gavin Sheets and Corey Lee. You mentioned Gavin Sheets, the way that he's hitting. 2-for-2 today with a single and a double, along with two walks. He did get thrown out at home, but maybe that's more on the third base coach sending him rather than Gavin Sheets being slow.
I would hope it was the third base coach sending him and not Gavin doing that rogue. I would 100% hope it was.
Wouldn't you hope it to be the other way around?
No.
The coach be the one who's more prepared?
No. I mean, yes, yeah, but at least I want Gavin to be like, yeah. If Eddie's telling you to go, firstly, I would question Eddie. Firstly, I'm like, that's Hunter Renfro. That ball's just past second base. I ain't going, Eddie. Yell at me all you want to. But yes, I would rather have Gavin be rogue than, you know, Eddie actually saying, hey, go home. Go your ass home now.
I got to be honest. I don't think it was technically sound of Gavin Sheets to choose to run home if it was his choice. And I don't think it was selfless for him to run home if that was his choice. But it was definitely aggressive and fearless of him.
It was fa. It was fa.
Yeah, very, very fa of him.
Was missing.
But yeah, no, that's brutal. I don't understand what it was. Maybe the thought process is catching him off guard. Maybe the idea is, you know, make a play. But again, I think as you brought up, Hunter Renfro has shown that he can make that play as easy as as waking up out of bed.
Gavin Sheets could have thrown Gavin Sheets out there right there.
That's probably true. Infielder Gavin Sheets. And then Corey Lee had a nice day as well. I've brought this up after, you know, the first couple of games we saw him, and now we see him get a start. Could Corey Lee possibly earn a major league spot? He's been pretty good.
I mean, I asked Pedro that exact question. I don't remember if it was yesterday or the day before. They blur together there. But I asked him it recently. And basically he said, yeah. I don't know how it's going to play out when it comes to Max Stassi, who has started a rehab assignment at AAA. It sounds like it's going to be a little bit of a longer one, I guess. Pedro said they want Stassi to be healthy enough and energetic enough to be able to play 5 days in a row, not because he would start 5 days in a row, but because Martin Maldonado would perhaps need to be lifted for a pinch runner fairly regularly, pressing the number two catcher, whoever he is, into duty, even on days when he was supposed to be off, right? So that was what Pedro said about Max Stassi. And then I said, hey, you know, you talked about competition every minute of every day in spring training. Is the competition ongoing? Can a guy like Corey Lee win himself a bigger job by playing well? And Pedro basically said, yeah, whether it's the guys at the major league level or the guys who are down at the minor league level, that's the kind of environment that they want. Now, we're going to see if that plays out that way in practice, but I would have to imagine on a team like this, like we were talking about, like we're going to talk about with Mike Clevenger and Nick Nastrini, that you would want to see your young guys take advantage of an opportunity and show you what they got, show you what they could do in the future and for you in the long term. This is a learning season, supposedly, for the White Sox. You would figure that Corey Lee showing them that he's been able to develop and give them what they want, both behind the plate and at the plate, would be a lot more valuable than, and this is nothing against Max Stassi, but a veteran like Max Stassi who's going to be off the team at the end of the year anyway, yep, you know, going out there and catching some innings for you. So that's the long way of saying, yes, it seems like he could do that.
But I think they're going to give Martin Maldonado all the chance to be the guy. Same thing with Max Stassi. as Vinny said, I would like to just see youngsters. Like, Corey Lee has looked great behind the plate. Like, that throw he threw to get Bobby Witt, even though Bobby Witt stole the base but overslid it, was pretty solid. Like, it was a strike, and Bobby Witt doesn't get thrown out too tough. And he's been picking the ball behind home plate, you know, moving the ball. Like, the other day, Martinez, like, 36, 37. So he was, like, trying to backhand the ball. It went to the backstop. Corey Lee's got mobility. He's got actual legs. He can move side to side right now. So I want to see what he can do before we get Edgar Caro up a couple years from now. But I'm liking what I'm seeing early in Corey Lee. And I don't necessarily need my catcher to hit, but he's hitting. It's looking nice, too.
I'll say this about Martin Maldonado, though. They're getting what they hoped for out of him.
And mentorship?
I understand that he's has no hits.
I'm about to say.
but they're getting what they want out of him in terms of working with the pitchers.
Okay.
Heard both Garrett Crochet and Michael Kopech after their respective impressive outings the other night compliment Maldonado and Pedro also talking about how well he's doing back there. So I think they're getting what they wanted from Maldonado, which, again, is what we thought they were going to get when they signed him, right? So it's good that they're getting that. But yeah, Corey Lee has looked impressive.
Corey Lee, 2-for-4 tonight with a double. He's got 3 hits on the year, which is 2 away from his total last year. There is a question from Jared, if you do want to scroll up just a little bit. A certain point, Lee getting at bats might be the best move with Stassi and Maldonado on the major league team. There isn't really a guy in AAA right now. Adam Hackenberg's there. Carlos Perez is there. Chucky Robinson's there. Would it be better to make Corey Lee the starting AAA guy, even though he has performed well, to give him just consistent work?
I could see that happening at first, right? I don't think you're going to go get Max Stassi, and then by the time that that the rehab assignment is up, be like, all right, see ya. You know what I mean? I think they'll give Max Stassi a chance to play on this big league team as they got him to do, right? But it's a long season, and we've seen guys, you know, been sent packing, to use a less kind term, before in the middle of the year. And if they get to a point in June, July, August where it's like, you know, we'd really like Corey Lee to get this playing time, then they could do that. I do think Corey Lee will probably go down to the minor leagues when Max Stassi is healthy, if that's the case. But it doesn't mean that it's permanent.
Yeah, he should be starting all the games down there at AAA, as many as he can, if he does get sent down there. Because, you know, having Maldonado and Stassi up here at the Major League Club, he will not get any at-bats if they're holding 3 catchers there. He'll just get an occasional pinch run, catching late in the game opportunities. But I'm fine with him being the main guy because, as you said, those other guys, Carlos Perez, Chucky Robinson, probably not in the White Sox future plans for being Major League catchers. While Corey Lee, if he keeps on showing the way he is, maybe not a starter, but a nice quality backup you can have that's very young.
And Kevin asking the question in the chat, where is Caro at? He's at AA right now. He's with the Birmingham Barons. So
they haven't started their season yet, right? The Barons? No. I know the AAA affiliate has.
No, they haven't. I don't think so.
I believe tomorrow is their first game.
Yes. I don't know. I'll check. We do the CHGO White Sox show. April 5th. Yeah. Look at you. You know, and who are they playing? You know?
Do I know what AA team they're playing?
No, I don't. The Montgomery Biscuits.
No.
The Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
No Jumbo Shrimp anymore.
The Harrisburg Senators.
No, Chattanooga Lookouts.
Oh, that's another classic one.
They got a real good logo. But
the eyes in the sea.
Yeah. Caro's in AA. There was a good idea from Blank Name. When Stassi comes off the injured list, fire Grifol, hire Maldonado as manager, and then there you go. You figure it out. Stassi and Lee stay as the catcher. So, I mean, let's take a break. We got some more sponsors, and then we'll talk about the newest White Sox in Mike Clevinger. We'll also talk maybe a little bit more about that seventh inning. Grumpy Pig mentioned that no one brought up the 3-run error, and that Vinny's not being critical.
Well, I think
of the White Sox.
He's talking about the reason there. You know, that Benintendi and Robert weren't busting it. That's what he claims. But
also, I remember you specifically, because he called out you, I remember you specifically saying you don't see a lot of 3-run errors. So I think that was just more of, you know, if you use context clues, I think that's just Vinny saying, oh, that's a real ugly play. So I don't know. We could chill. Maybe Grumpy Pig should be a little less grumpy.
I mean, it's right in his name. You can't
exactly.
you can't be mad at him for living up to expectations.
No, and Game Time will live up to your expectations. If you have ever been frustrating buying a ticket, maybe they're too too expensive. Maybe you want to go at the last minute. Game Time is the place to be this MLB season. They are now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, and they have killer last minute deals, all in prices, views from your seats, and their lowest price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. And the best part, too, is you get the Game Time guarantee. Herb got to experience this down in Atlanta in the same row and same section. He found cheaper tickets on a different site, and within 12 minutes, he got 110% of the difference back. And, too, with all the crappy weather, like the game on Wednesday getting rained out, there's the Game Time ticket coverage, which means your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticket industry. They will always try to take care of you, as Sarah's showing. If you want to go see the Blackhawks, they got a couple flash deals all around the UC right now. You can get tickets for $45 each, but I think even down on the lower bowl, you can get some nice flash deals. So if you are looking to go to an NHL game, MLB game, or maybe even the NBA playoff game, go check out our friends over at Game Time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. For a limited time, all users can get a $20 off credit for any MLB purchase of $150 or more in the Game Time app with code FIRSTPITCH. Terms apply. That's code FIRSTPITCH for $20 off from March 25th to April 14th only. So download the Game Time app. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Charlie the Bacon Guy is based out of Woodridge, Illinois, and he makes craft bacon and bacon jams for over 35 flavors. Bacon and bacon jams are naturally cured, preservative-free products. No ingredients that Charlie can't pronounce himself are involved in the process. Unlike most store-bought bacon, athorabate or sodium ascorbate, for example. Their bacon is vacuum sealed and perfectly freezes. Bacon lasts in the package for up to 60 days in the fridge or 1 week after the seal is broken and 9 months in the freezer. Bacon jam lasts about 90 days in the fridge and up to 1 year in the freezer. But if you're keeping bacon in the freezer for that long, you're doing it wrong. Check out that and all the awesome merch at charliethebaconguy.com, as Sarah's showing you right now on the screen. Beanies, hats, t-shirts, stickers, coffee mugs, etc. The bacon jam goes perfectly on anything. Put it on scrambled eggs, toast, crackers, burgers, grilled cheese, charcuterie boards, cinnamon rolls, pizza, or Charlie's favorite, the spoon. And the bacon vault is where Charlie has all the flavors he's made in the past. If it's currently not available, give Charlie about 2 weeks and he'll make it for you. Some of the flavors that Charlie's rolling out right now are ranch, rosemary, vanilla bourbon, maple espresso, Cajun, jardinera, and Canadian bacon.
I saw that Cajun one. That one looks real good.
Oh, yeah. And that Canadian bacon is a new item.
Ooh.
Bacon jam.
Tastes like Canada?
Yeah, it does. So delicious. Bacon jam flavors are original, bourbon, and cherry jalapeno right now. But starting now, you can save 10% on your order going to charliethebaconguy.com when you use the code CHGOSOX. At checkout, you can pick it up, which is the most efficient way for you. He can deliver it to you or meet you halfway or even ship it. He makes the bacon so you can bring it home. Remember, charliethebaconguy.com. Use the code CHGOSOX when you check out and get 10% off your order. At Instagram, you can follow him at Charlie the Bacon Guy or Charlie the Bacon or CZ the Bacon Guy on Twitter. Charlie the Bacon Guy at gmail.com is the way you can email him, or go to his website, charliethebaconguy.com.
I know I just scoffed at 103 people watching. We now got 141 people watching. So
eat some bacon.
146 people watching.
As Sarah says, make it make sense. Hit that like button. We'd really, really appreciate it. And shout out to Jared, who said, used Game Time twice 6 weeks. $35 tickets behind the dugout and $15 tickets about 20 rows up in 140.
And I think Jared tried the campfire milkshake too.
Look at him.
Wow. He was sitting behind the dugout. Was he the guy in the loop shirt?
No, that guy was there every day.
That's his bit. That guy's like an M&M guy.
So he also had to be the guy on opening day who was wearing the Disco Sucks shirt.
I think yes. So.
And then showed up in the loop shirt the next 2 days.
Hey.
Nice work. Nice wardrobe there, fella.
Vinny, this team's kind of DOGSISHIT. Maybe you can go interview the loop guy. Maybe that could be a piece at allchgo.com.
I wonder if he works at the loop or just has a bunch of
loops. Well, the loop doesn't exist.
Oh,
so.
No, it doesn't? I forgot.
You forgot that the loop is gone?
Was it Gary and Steve? Are they still there?
I don't know. I think it's Eddie and Jobo. I don't know. Anyways, Jared, though, is currently the diehard that's participating in our Click to Pick segment. Did anyone win, Herb?
Oh, yes. Somebody won.
Yeah?
Who won? Who was it?
Reluctantly, Corey Lee was the guy who was the best hitter. I mean, you could have given to Gavin Sheets.
Gavin Sheets didn't get out. Corey Lee got out twice.
Who picked Gavin Sheets, though?
No one.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Gavin Sheets would win, therefore rendering everyone's pick no.
Yes.
Ooh, but this is a hard game to win, folks.
You're not going
to
give Vinny 9 points for this.
I'm giving him 7 points because that's what Corey Lee was
what?
At. It was between Corey Lee and Gavin Sheets. That's a toss-up.
I'd give it to Gav.
What'd he do? A double?
A double, a single, and two walks. He got on base 4 times and didn't get out once.
Congratulations.
Corey Lee threw out Bobby Witt Jr.
He did.
He did. That's true. Good thing Brandon Schumann made that tag. And just to
that's
talk
7 points. Corey, so he's in the lead, 7-1.
And Jared got
screwed. We have zero now.
Jared got screwed. I got to be honest. Jared got screwed.
Who did Jared pick?
No, he's who's talking Robert? About you going up on the standings
I'm leading
right now.
The fans.
Because Jared said that he thought that the thing was going to end today. He thought it was going to be a week. And since it started last Thursday, he was just trying to get a victory. So now Herb's kind of screwing him up.
No, I clearly stated in the Discord, which if you want to become a Discord or a diehard, you can be joining us at allchgo.com/diehard. I clearly stated that this week, the opening week, what starts on Thursday, will start from the 28th of March and end on April 7th. Every other week will just be a week.
This is going to be the rules to this game.
Oh yeah,
it's like you go in like a town in New England's like law book, and it's like illegal to ride your horse through the street on a Tuesday morning or something like that. Like, this has so many intricacies.
We're gonna be
picking the rules of this thing apart until September.
You guys want to see the rules? They're on our Discord channel and the White Sox.
We appreciate you putting those rules together.
I think they're even pinned. I think Kevin pinned it.
Yeah. And to the point of 146 people watching, Jason Connor saying, my friends tell me I'm a glutton for punishment. That's why I watch the game and why I'm here. So we appreciate everyone who is a diehard or just a diehard White Sox fan. You can join us at allchgo.com/join-diehard. But we appreciate everyone hanging out. And if you can, at least hit that thumbs up button. We'd appreciate it.
Sam, welcome to the Masochist Club.
Welcome to the Masochist Club. All right. As a masochist, I will talk a little bit about Mike Soroka here.
He was fine.
Yeah, Michael Soroka was fine. I don't think, again, he's not the reason the White Sox lost the game. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 Ks, no walks. Seth Lugo on the other side, 6 2/3, 1 earned run, 8 hits, 3 Ks, 2 walks. I think the biggest issue is he's just not getting swings and misses. 25% called strike plus whiff rate. Average major league starter is 30%. I'm not against him going out there every 5 days. Who else are the White Sox going to throw out there? I'm not advocating for somebody else. But when we talked about Soroka possibly being a sneaky all-star pick for the White Sox, I think that might have been a little bit too overloaded or a little bit too bearish for us, because just the velocity still down. His velocity on his slider's down 1.8 miles per hour. His sinker's down 0.2 miles per hour. Four seam down 0.9 miles per hour. The changeup was up 0.5 miles per hour. But I don't know if it's giving all star Mike Soroka.
No, it's not. You're going against the Tigers, who I don't think they're a great hitting team. I think they're all right. And this Kansas City Royals team is fine, but not, as we said, the top of the order is where you're going to be in trouble. I'm not too worried about the bottom of the order, and he struggled a couple times with those guys that get Melendez and the hard hit by Velasquez. Like, those guys were giving him troubles and such. So it was a good outing. Let's not front. A quality outing where you needed to get more innings out of your starting pitcher, because he only gave you like 4 1/3, I think, his first start.
I think he went 5.
5? Okay. Yeah. He went 5 his first start. And then no, it was Fetty with 4 2/3.
Fetty and Flexen both failed to go 5, yeah.
And so you needed this to give your team a little bit more length, and I thought his pitching was good. It held the Royals' juggernaut offense that scored 8 runs when he left the game in check. He's like, hey, only 2 runs for me. Y'all some bitches gave him up 8.
No. I mean, he only gave up 2 runs in 6 innings. Talk about giving your team a chance to win. Mm-hmm. I don't know about this team, which has struggled to score runs in a big way so far. They've played 6 games. They've only scored 12 runs, and half of those came in one game. So when you're only scoring 1 run, it probably colors the opinion of Soroka's job, right? Because, like, oh, well, Soroka left and they were losing, and then they lost kind of thing. Well, you score some runs, and then you it helps him out. It's a balance. The offense has to help the pitcher. The pitcher has to help the offense. I'd say the pitcher, for the most part, did his job tonight.
And that's why when Chris Getz is saying we need starting pitching innings, and then we'll talk about their newest acquisition later on in the show, it's like, you also need a bat or two or three or four. And it's just funny to me that you bring up the game that they scored six runs, and Luis Robert Jr. is hitting two home runs in that game. But those are the only home runs we've seen from the top four. Like, Aloy doesn't have a homer. Vaughn doesn't have a homer. Benintendi doesn't have a homer. Moncada doesn't have a homer. You're getting production from Gavin Sheets, Corey Lee. You had a game where Braden Shumake and Paul DeJong hit a homer, right?
Yeah.
Those two? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're just not able to capitalize. So you can go get a guy that's going to give you a quality start each and every night. It doesn't matter. Can you even score a run? Like, I mean, even if Michael Soroka only had to pitch six innings, the Royals only got six frames to hit in, the White Sox still would have lost.
Yep.
I mean, it's just what can you do as a pitcher?
In half their games, they've gotten quality starts.
Ugh.
Garrett Crochet twice and Michael Soroka. They're 1-2 in those games.
And they're playing cleaner baseball, aren't they?
Before tonight, they were.
Oh, yes, they were. They only had one error coming into tonight.
Yeah.
And only one error credit to them today.
Do you need more space to touch on that seventh inning at all? We don't have to if you just want to avoid the ground.
The problem with the whole Shumake thing, it was Salvador Perez going down the line, and he was rushing to get the force out of Bobby Witt Jr. at second.
Who never stopped running and scored on that play.
Exactly. Take your time. Eat a lunch, go explore Kansas City, come back to the stadium, throw Salvador Perez out. Like, you could have had all the time in the world. Like, that's the stuff that you need to be knowing. Like, you're talking about fast. How about baseball IQ? You're looking at Salvador Perez hitting the ball. All you got to do is, like, there's two outs. Cool. Mm-hmm. Let's throw to first base. I'm going to dribble to first base. I'll get him out. Like, you're not thinking of game situation there. That's my problem. Like, you're trying to get one of the fastest runners, if not the fastest runner, out at second when you have one of the slowest runners going down first baseline. So that is a mental error that you can't have, that I thought we left behind last year, where the baseball IQ had been raised up a little bit. Shumake makes that go a little bit lower tonight because he doesn't understand the situation that was going on right there.
Folks are still probably rolling their eyes or laughing at the whole play fast thing. We're joking about it and stuff too. But I thought in the first five games of the season, for the most part, they were doing that stuff that Pedro said they were going to do. They were playing good defense. They were there were notable plays of them, you know, being aggressive and being smart on the base paths and stuff like that. And tonight, you saw very much why the talk this offseason was about that, because this was the 2023 and 2022 teams again.
Yep.
That's what that was tonight, and in glaring fashion, right? And so the reason Pedro was talking that stuff up so much during the offseason and during spring training is because he knew that had to be left behind, because it leads to 10-1 losses in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And it led to them far too frequently in the last two seasons. Now, this could end up just being an outlier if they do this. But you see how not adhering to that kind of stuff, right? And you don't need to see it again. You saw it for the last 2 years, but can just cause a game to just explode in front of you. And so there's a reason Chris Getz focused so much on defense as opposed to going out and getting four more bats for the lineup, right? Because before the defensive problems in this game tonight, they were only down by one run. They had a chance to push across two more runs and win a game. But then the defense reverts back to what it had been, and all of a sudden they have no chance.
Well, and Kevin was asking, what's their runner and scoring position stats?
They're not good.
It was 1-for-20, and then Gavin Sheets had that bloop single against the Braves. And then since then, 4-for-32. That's their total.
That's the total on the season.
That's the total on the season, 4-for-32 with 5 RBIs.
That's not good.
Nope, that's not good, and that's why they're 1-5. So very, 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 very fun to watch. Let's get into one thing before we get into the Clevinger thing. Husky Bardo asked, and this has been asked in the comments as well, is it going to get bad enough where you trade Luis this offseason, right? I mean, you got 3 more years of control after this year.
I don't think there's a market enough for him. Like, you can't give enough players away to get Luis Robert right now.
He's too valuable.
Yeah.
You could trade Juan Soto.
Inexpensive, great, I know Early is not playing well, not hitting well, but we saw this last year. And then he turned into Luis Robert. But, yeah, I don't think you can give enough players, maybe those Orioles, with that lineup in Norfolk. Just give the
trade them the Norfolk the ties.
Norfolk ties. Just send it to us, and then you can get Luis Robert if you want.
Could you imagine having 29 hits from a White Sox team? I think my mind would melt.
The White Sox AAA team in that game scored 11 runs.
That's true. That's true. One thing in that game, Danny Mendick's fastest pitch that he threw was 54 miles per hour. Herb, can you throw 54? Sammy Hagar can't drive 55. Can you throw 55?
The fastest I've ever thrown is like 52 miles per hour.
That's kind of close.
Yeah. You have like a personal best record like in your head?
When you go to the Sox speed pitch.
Sure, but like how many times did you go that you'd know like your
personal
best? Only like
two times because then I was like, I can't throw fast. I don't need to do this ever again.
But I mean,
this is embarrassing.
2 more miles per hour, you can't get there?
I think he was just
tie Danny Mendick.
I think he was just saving up. I was going full effort for 52. He was probably just like, all right, just throwing the ball to catcher and get this game over already.
Excuses.
Up 6 earned runs. I would have gave up less.
All right, let's move into the.
Because I would have hit a lot of Baltimore Oriole players or Norfolk Tides players, and they've been charging me, and I would get kicked out of the game with my 52 miles per hour fastball.
That would be your way to get out of the game is just get ejected by throwing at people?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a smart idea.
Take this, Jackson Holiday, right in the head.
Wow.
Let's move into the newest White Sox. We talked about Eloy Jimenez. We talked about this horrendous, horrendous game. We've talked about Corey Lee's performance and if Eloy will go on to the IL. The White Sox announced earlier today that Jose Rodriguez would be DFA'd as they officially announced the signing of Mike Clevinger. He will be signed to a one-year deal worth $3 million as a base salary. There's also incentives that could increase that salary to $6 million, so an additional $3 million with the incentives. And he also did receive a $4 million buyout from the White Sox last year in his player option.
It's part of his contract last year, yeah.
$7 million-ish, if you want to include the buyout money for Mike Clevinger for the White Sox in 2024. And Chris Getz did address the signing today to the media in Kansas City. Quote, based on the information we have now, we're very comfortable with having Clev join the White Sox and be a part of our major league club eventually, but I certainly understand the sensitivity here, and I don't want to be dismissive of domestic violence, but we wouldn't be doing this unless we were very comfortable with the situation, and the reason we're most comfortable is based on the investigation that have taken place beyond the Chicago White Sox. I guess, again, going to the point of you can have as many quality starts as you can, but the team is just not scoring enough runs. You can play as clean enough defense behind all of these pitchers and help them get to a quality start, but you're just not getting enough runs from a team. The Mike Clevinger situation, obviously loaded, and the reason that it is loaded just lead to me say, why take a chance on this player? We talked a little bit about it on the pregame show. Is there anything else that you want to address with Getz's comments today, or specifically about, you know, why take a chance on a player for a team that's playing so poorly?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure the White Sox can think about it that way, but I think when you look at the big picture and you hear Chris Getz say in spring training, this is a season in which we're trying to learn what we have so we can best, you know, adapt for the future and build for the future. What does Mike Clevinger do to teach you about the future? He is a guy who has been around for a long time. You'll bring him in, and he truthfully probably makes the rotation better over the short term, right? As long as he's here, unless he has a bad season, if he pitches just what he did last year, he makes this rotation better. That being said, like you said, Sean, what does it being slightly better do for you this year? Aren't you trying to learn about the guys that can be a part of your future? They're learning about Garrett Crochet right now. The hope is that they'll be able to learn about the Nick Nastrinis of the world and some of their other, I mean, remember, we can go over the whole list of the guys they've got down in the minor leagues who might, by the end of September, be, you know, earning some sort of shot on a big league roster. Mike Clevinger takes up one of those spots and, you know, might block some chances there, even if he's gone in a trade by the end of July and you can still test some of these guys out in the last couple of months of the season. But I see a team that was so budget conscious during the offseason take a $3 million, as much as $6 million maybe, roll of the dice on the best case scenario being, oh, maybe he's great and by August 1st, we have a couple more prospects.
As you just said, that would be the best case scenario. So that juice is not worth that squeeze. Like, you bringing him on, you have to know. Like, I don't know, they don't live in a bubble. They have to know that Mike Clevenger brings controversy. Mike Clevenger, whatever you think about him as the player, and they thought that he was a good clubhouse guy, you bringing him in is also automatically going to have scorn towards you as an organization. So is that scorn worth him being traded at August, in August at the best, or on the team until September, and then he's not on the team? Like, what is the best case scenario for the White Sox in that signing? It's him getting traded eventually. He's not going to be here probably past next year unless you got to sign him another contract. So that's what my deal is. Past all that stuff where he's allegedly doing DV stuff, and he's got cleared on the investigation for Major League Baseball. They didn't find sufficient enough evidence to charge him with anything extra except for doing a couple anger management and or classes to, you know, to satiate his baby's mama, Olivia. I keep on saying baby's mama. The lady he had a child
with. The mother of his baby.
Thank you. But, like, there's no, like, positive that you could say, we got Mike Clevenger to push us over the top to this level. Like, they're going to be in fifth place. Getting Mike Clevenger, does that move them to fourth? Does that matter? Who cares? If they were at first or second or close to the top, I would not like having Mike Clevenger on my team. But I could understand why fans and the White Sox would want Mike Clevenger on their team.
That's why they got him the first time.
He's a good pitcher. Yes, he's a good pitcher. What he did last year, if he does that this year to a contending team like the White Sox, I don't like it because I don't like the person, but I understand it. This doesn't make sense at all.
Well, and the thing, too, with last year is, hey, I don't understand why they didn't take that player option because it ended up being the same amount of money, but when they first signed him, the details of the investigation were not made known to the White Sox. So they kind of had some culpability of being like, well, we didn't know. This information wasn't made available to us. And you can kind of throw your hands up. Like, they are doubling down, in a sense, to bring this guy back in. And that's just the thing that's extremely baffling, because he does, the best case scenario is that he's gone by July. You get to replace him with Nick Nastrini, and then Nick Nastrini gets MLB experience because you were able to unload him for 1 to 2 prospects. But, like, would you pay $3 million for, like, 1 to 2 prospects? And also, the risk is he was untradeable at the trade deadline, A, because of the investigation, but B, because he was hurt. And he's been hurt, I think, before.
I think, well, yes, because he was hurt, but I think you also put out the contract.
Yeah.
I think there were teams that didn't want to take that money on then.
Right.
Been $4 million option they would have to take on.
And two, like we've seen with other players, I think a guy that I wanted this offseason was Adam Duvall, and then you see how much Adam Duvall signs with the Braves for, and you're like, man, that's really cheap. And it most likely is Adam Duvall will take less to go play with the Braves. It seems like Mike Clevenger, and at least if the White Sox were going to sign a top 40 free agent, they'd have to pay some sort of a premium to bring this guy in. It was $3 million, less than Michael Lorenzen ended up making. Like, I think that that's a huge sign that no one wanted to take that risk again. And since the White Sox already took that risk, they're trying to, again, prove, or quote-unquote prove, that Clevenger could be an asset to a major league team, and hopefully by July, he's healthy, pitching well enough, and that a team is willing enough to take on this risk. I mean, Rick Hahn called him a calculated risk when they brought him on. And I know Melissa mentioned Getz equals Hahn and Hahn equals Williams. And there was a point brought up by Jim Margulis earlier today on the Sox Machine podcast that when AJ had Chris Getz on about a week ago, Chris Getz tried to say, we're going to try to win back the fans. And AJ's like, well, hold on. Is that not what Rick Hahn said? And then you kind of see a Rick Hahn move with Chris Getz again in bringing back Mike Clevenger. Like, if this guy really wants to separate himself, I don't understand why you are digging into the muck of this. Like, you're in, he's not staking his reputation on this, because he kind of put it more on the investigators, and the investigators said that he's clean, so we're going to trust the investigators. But it does seem a weird guy to welcome in at this point, because we just know that it could become toxic if certain things happen.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't know. Like, you talk all the stuff about offseason and Chris Getz saying the things that he said in the offseason. This move, to me, doesn't jibe with the stuff he said in the offseason. And so signing him also days into the season, too, kind of is weird. So maybe it's out of Chris Getz's hands, even though he is the lone baseball decision maker. If he is, it's on him. If this thing fails and it blows up in his face, it's on him. But also, it doesn't seem like he was gung-ho about this deal. Like, offseason was, we want to get this, we want to see development. Like, Soroka makes sense. He's on a one-year deal. You can trade him away because he's young, vibrant, has had a past that was good. So trading him, it makes sense. Getting Mike Clevinger in the middle of season and then trying to trade him, that doesn't make sense to me at all. And it, I think that this is not congruent to what Chris Getz said in the offseason. Maybe he changed his tone. Maybe he's changed his tune. I don't think so, though.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I hope he's the lone baseball decision maker. I hope there's no one meddling in his affairs.
I hope so, too. I hope he's making these stupid choices all along his own fruition.
Because he's going to get blamed for them.
Yes.
Or praised.
I really just don't see a way that this move gets praised. I mean, you're not, even if he's like got a 350 ERA at the trade deadline, you're not going to get a top 100 prospect. Like, can you get a guy that actually makes the major leagues? Or are you taking two young 18-year-old flyers? Tickets.
Yes.
You're paying $3 million for a lottery ticket? How much is a lottery? You were giving out Powerball numbers. Isn't that like $250 for a Powerball ticket? Like, I don't get it. Josh Nelson of Sox Machine also tweeted out that the Chicago White Sox have only scored 12 runs in their first six games of the season, setting a new record low since the pitching mound was lowered in 1969.
Record low for everyone?
The White Sox. The White Sox. Okay. The worst before this was 17 by the 1970 White Sox, so five less than the previous setting team. They scored 17 runs in their first game, and that team went 56-106. If it helps, the 1974 team scored 18 runs and went 80-80, and the 1986 team scored 18 runs as well, and they went 72-90. So I mean, it's not, yeah, Tony La Russa
got fired.
Got fired year. For that.
Yeah.
And then Hawk took over, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, Hawk is who fired him.
He fired him. Yeah. I think like Torberg or Gene Lamont took over. One of the two.
I can't wait until John Schriffen is the GM of the Chicago White Sox come June, and he's firing Pedro Grifol.
Hawk style?
Yeah, Hawk style. Let's go. Anyways, that's going to wrap it up for the CHGO White Sox podcast. We appreciate everyone for watching. We are very happy with the number of people that are tuning into this White Sox show. Make sure you're hitting the thumbs up button on your way out. If you are a diehard White Sox fan, and this is your first CHGO show you're tuning into, make sure you become a diehard today at allchgo.com. Vinny puts out the White Sox weekly newsletter every Monday for diehards, so you get to keep up to date with the Sox every Monday. There's also diehard exclusive articles there, along with Vinny's daily articles. Put one up about Clevinger today, Jimenez the day before. You get a shirt when you sign up to become a diehard. You get a nice box with a sticker pack and a membership card, and you get access to the CHGO Discord. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at Ecknerwall23. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you to Sarah for producing the show, and we will talk to you on Sunday for Garrett Crochet's third White Sox start. See you then. Y'all silly like the mayor.